Using oracles or divination tools to get guidance from source on the best route is practically as old as the wind. They used to be sticks, rocks, herbs, and shells. They still can be. They were available anywhere. What seems frequently overlooked today, or left on the shelf of only New Age stores, is that using oracles or divination tools can be a shortcut to getting divine guidance and understanding your soul's wisdom. On today's show, I'm going to give you some pointers for using divination tools as the tool they are, as a means of connecting to and garnering your own higher knowing and soul's wisdom.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Do you crave clarity and insight? Do you sense that your intuition is trying to tell you important things, but you have a hard time trusting it? Do you want access to your own internal wisdom and to understand how it operates so that you can guide your life in ways that are meaningful and satisfying? Well then, welcome. I'm glad you are here. I'm your host, Aimée Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book, Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive and empathic abilities for more than a decade. Join me each week for true stories and tools that will inspire you to take seriously your own inner knowing, that internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. It's time for you to own your intuition. Hello, welcome. I love to start the show by giving a shout out to a person who has taken the time to review my podcast, partially because they mean so much to me, and partially to encourage you to review the show. I'll shout you out too. I love hearing from you. So this week it's Sari. She said, on an intuitive whim, I found this podcast. It's a delicious jewel that sparkles bright with wisdom, everyday practical tidbits, humor, and a grounding calm that effortlessly soothes the spirit and embraces the heart. Having listened to the entire current collection of 72 episodes in a 3-week period, I feel like Aimée is a friend to my soul. I turned the corner, and there she was, offering me just what I needed. She provides a smorgasbord of tools, thoughts, reminding me to breathe and how to recognize, trust, honor, and yes, own my intuition. Sari, thank you so much. What a beautiful tribute. Mwah. Another bit of housekeeping up front. If you are a listener of this show or are on my email list, you already know about the free 3-day workshop I'm giving September 17th, 19th, and 22nd. It's called Intuition for Changemakers. A changemaker, by the way, is somebody who cares, who just cares and loves this planet and the creatures on it. On one of those days, we are going to be talking about the very subject that is the topic of today's show, using oracles. And I'll be giving you the techniques I've developed over the years, including the use of an oracle you can use to divine the best path forward that you probably never even thought of as an oracle, but that you most likely always have on hand. You'll find the link for reserving your seat in the show notes or at aimeecartier.com intuitionfreak.com/IFC. That's short for Intuition for Changemakers. I hope to see you there. You might want to tell your friends, too. I only offer this once a year, and yo, it's free. Why not? Okay, let's go. For so long, I don't know, as long as I've been alive, at least in this country, intuition has been given a bad rap or just ignored. That's part of our story. That's part of our current healing in the world. Because before this, before the age of patriarchy, I feel like intuition was the way. It was a huge part of how people made decisions because they weren't awash in information. There was no internet, no school. Sometimes I think that when we identify certain places as places of learning, and let's be honest, the internet is one of those today, we actually close ourselves off to the understanding that everywhere is a place of learning. Standing in your yard by a tree is a place of learning. And furthermore, that it is natural for knowledge to come from within. In times past, for millennia, humans knew their intuition was one of the primary ways that they got the information they needed. I would wager that no one ever even bothered questioning, why do I know that, when the information came? Or where did that information come from? It was just normal for our intuitive senses to be alive and guiding us. They still are, by the way. Even if we've been taught by neglect or on purpose to ignore them, yours are still alive, so are mine. And that is part, a big part, really, of why I do this show, to help you remember, to help you see. Do you know what else is practically as old as the wind? Using oracles or divination tools to get guidance from source on the best route. Nowadays, they've sort of been corrupted into this woo-woo, let's ignore this, only available at New Age shops category. But friend, they used to be sticks, rocks, herbs, and shells. They still can be. They were available anywhere. Sure, some people were and are innately gifted at using those. Just like some people are spectacular singers or musicians. It's not that those people were the only ones who could use them or are the only ones who can use them. It's just that those people have an affinity for and a strong inner vision that goes along with the oracles easily. They were the ones whose job it was to look for others. Obviously, I consider myself in that category, as you would probably gather since I've been a professional psychic since 2007. But everyone can use oracle or divination tools, just like everyone can sing. And incidentally, the more you do it, just like singing, the better you become. Everyone has a sovereign right to the knowledge of their own soul. That is not the property of anyone other than you. And that is what oracle or divination tools help you do. Gather that information from your own soul and knowing. So, I'm going to dive into some tips for using oracles in your own life. But first, I'm going to tell you a story of the first time I ever saw a person use oracles. This was around 1998. Seems so long ago. Here's how it went. My girlfriend, Anita Datar, said to me, I heard of a woman in Valangara who throws shells. Want to go? I was in the Peace Corps in Senegal. Valangara was the town I lived in. I was the district coordinator of a health volunteer program. And in addition to a village hut where I lived with a family, I also had a home in the town where the nearby Peace Corps volunteers often came to stay and repose. This was during the second and final year of my service. I had never been to a seer before. In fact, I'm certain I wouldn't have even used that name at the time. I don't remember what she was called in Pular, the West African dialect that we lived and spoke in, but I was game. It was Anita, myself, and another Peace Corps volunteer who was in her first year of service who went. Our flip-flops clicking in the tan, sandy street as we approached what Anita thought was the compound where the seer lived. A cement brick wall had been assembled, marking the family's space with an opening that signified the door. We stepped inside. "Assalam alaikum," we said in unison upon entering. "Malaikum salam," came the response greeting from the woman who was crushing something in her mortar and pestle in the courtyard. She stopped what she was doing to greet us. "We've come to see the seer," Anita said in Pular. "Mmm," she acknowledged, and setting down her pestle, she walked over to a large hut, dipping her head into the doorway of the round mud hut with a thatched roof. She said something to whoever was within. Moments later, another woman came out of the hut, slipping on her flip-flops as she did so. "Assalamu alaikum," and so the greeting went again. "Malaikum salam." This greeting was always followed by a volley of traditional Pular greetings, which had a melody and a rhythm and a cadence all their own. Tanalaton, jamtun. Greetings concluded, our seer motioned for us to follow her into another hut. Walking through the packed dirt compound, we moved toward another smaller hut, past the brightly colored clothes hanging on a line. The woman ducked under the thatched roof of the small hut ahead of us, and we followed her. "Sit," she motioned to us, though of course still speaking in Pular. The room had only a bed and one short stool, which the seer sat upon. There wasn't room for all of us on the floor, so Stacy, the other volunteer that was with Anita and I, sat on the edge of the bed while Anita and I sat down on the floor. As we did so, the seer took out a little bag made of a strip of cloth. Opening the tied top, she scooped the shells into her hands. "Who is here for a reading?" "We all are. Who would like to go first?" She handed Anita the shells. I don't remember all the details, but I think she handed each of us the shells upon our turn, and then we threw them like dice, allowing them to be splayed out in front of us on the cloth she had placed on the floor. Then she would look at them and tell us things. I can't remember what she said to Anita. I do remember that she described to me a previous boyfriend that I had left back in the States when I came to the Peace Corps, and she described how he was feeling about me. What I remember most was the reading of our friend Stacy. Stacy had recently had her hut broken into. It was an unusual thing to happen. At least Stacy was the only Peace Corps volunteer that I knew around us who had had this happen. In Senegal, most of the Peace Corps volunteers live with families. We are given names by the families and sort of adopted as a member of that family. I was called Aissatou Diallo. This offers a built-in level of protection and safety. We are considered part of the community and a member of this family. In Stacy's case, it seemed like some young guys had got the idea to break into her hut. This, of course, was unsettling for her, Living in a foreign country, in a completely different world than she had ever known, and having her space violated, that's no small thing. The woman who was throwing the shells, the seer, knew nothing about us when we sat down. I had never seen her before. I think only Anita had a specific question. The rest of us just threw the shells, and she told us what she saw. This woman did not know Stacy or what had happened. But what was most impactful to me of all the moments was just after Stacy threw her shells. The woman looked down at them and then looked up at Stacy, startled. And then, with compassionate eyes and an understanding smile, she said to her, "Jodo wai, sit down, friend. It's not time to go anywhere." She described how Stacy was considering leaving Senegal because of the obvious trauma and feeling unsafe that followed her break-in. "This will pass," the seer told her. "You are safe. They won't do it again. You belong here for a while. It will all resolve. There is goodness." It made an impact. This woman and her cowrie shells, with each of us crouched down on the floor for our turn in the light of her oracle. Stacy did sit down, so to speak. She moved through the trauma of the event and settled in. My time in the Peace Corps was up in a matter of months when this happened, and Stacy's was just beginning. But the last I heard, she extended her time to an entire year beyond our 2-year commitment. She settled into the community, made friends, felt safe, and enjoyed, just as our seer had predicted. This is Aimée Cartier, and if you just joined us for the Own Your Intuition show, today we are talking about oracles and divination tools. And we are going to talk now about how a seer like myself uses them when giving readings and about how you might use them in your own life. I was in my 20s when I started using oracles. I can't remember if I was gifted my first set or I bought it myself, because I do remember that my best friend from childhood, Jasmine, who is still a friend of mine now, gifted me a set once for my birthday. I also remember exchanging this set. The ones that she gifted me just weren't mine. The idea was perfect, though. Thank you, Jasmine. And maybe that's the first specific thing I would offer today in this podcast in terms of using oracle tools yourself. When you are ready to dive into using oracles, you get to choose the divination cards or the oracles that speak to you. There are many forms to choose from. Cards, pendulums, actually almost anything can be an oracle, really, as you saw from my story where the woman used cowrie shells. In my programs and memberships, when we get to this part of our learning, we swap images of the cards that we are drawn to so that we can all see each other's cards and maybe discover some other divination cards that we like. The image is important for me on a card, but so are the words. If the cards frame things in a way that resonates with you, that's important. Beyond whether you love the images or not, a question to ask yourself is, does the outlook of the card's author resonate with your own? Because most often when we start working with a divination deck, we start by using the words that are included in this deck. It's the easiest way into getting comfortable using a divination deck. Different decks have different energies. I have a couple that I've owned that I've moved on, like donated to a thrift store over the years, because I just didn't love their energy or perspective. The point is, you get to choose. I will put a link to some of my favorite decks in the notes of this show. Maybe you'll like them. maybe you'll prefer others. My first set, the Osho Zen Tarot, is still the set I use the most and certainly the one I have with me when I do readings. So as I was saying, in my 20s, I was fascinated with oracles because they seemed to give me a window into the mysterious. If I didn't know the answer to something, I would just ask. It always showed the way. I frequently used whatever spreads the accompanying book suggested. Over the years, I've developed methods of working with them that are a bit more precise than just flipping a card or doing a spread that is listed in the book guidelines. One of those methods is pretty much the basis of everything I do when I'm working with the ethereal. From getting answers, like I detail in my book, to working with my spirit guides, or even when I'm doing readings for clients. And that is, I always define who I am asking, or that I am looking for the answers that serves my highest good, or the highest good of my client in the case where I'm doing a reading for someone else. I do this before I consult a divination tool or flip a card. This is psychic author and intuition mentor Aimée Cartier, and if you just tuned in to the radio, you are listening to the Own Your Intuition show. And today, we are talking about using divination tools, likely one of the oldest ways that humans concentrated on getting information from the divine or their own highest wisdom. I say it that way because it's also our birthright for information to just drop right in. We don't always need oracles or divination tools, but sometimes they are an uber useful window into the insight you need. So let's take that back for ourselves, shall we? This practice of consulting oracles. This old as the hills form of getting insight. It's always been a path of clarity. And paths of clarity are useful. So coming back to the idea that I just mentioned, that is the second piece of advice I would offer. When you are working with oracles, before you flip a card or ask a pendulum, for example, define in some way who you are asking, the most benevolent source you know, or your highest good, or that you are looking for only answers that serve your highest good. Because those are the answers you want. So not too long ago, my daughter had a difficult decision to make. The truth is, about this situation, she knew the answer. It had been coming to her internally. It just felt like a hard decision to make for her. She was afraid of disappointing people, worried about missing out. So she wanted confirmation. She wanted more clarity, even though I could tell that already intuitively she knew what her best course was. The process of walking her through using divination cards for this question was so clarifying for me because watching an 11-year-old walk through this process, they bring up everything. If they think it or wonder about it, they say it. So it was so fun and useful for me, and I was so proud of her to walk her through this important decision and moment. It certainly wasn't the first time she has ever used oracles, but she was in a moment where she had placed a lot of weight in her mind on what to do about this conundrum. One of the things I said to her then was, "You don't need the cards. They are an aid. If you feel confident to go ahead and make your decision on what you know inside, then go ahead. If you want more information or to better understand your decision or why you are guided to this, The oracles are a tool for that. And if you don't want to know what they are going to say, then don't ask. You want to be ready and open when you consult an oracle. And one of the things she asked in response was, what if the cards are false? Now, remember how I said that the first thing to do when consulting oracles is to define who you are asking or the kind of answer, the best one, that you want. That's why we do that step. My daughter already knows that step. So what I said in response to her was this. Your guides, your highest self, does not steer you in wrong directions. You may or may not at the time understand why, but the cards through which you are consulting your highest self or benevolent source or the guides that serve your highest good for help do not fake you out or send you down roads that would not be good for you right now or that would best be avoided. As was the case for my daughter, sometimes you are too involved or too invested or too wrapped up in a situation to have the brilliant information just drop in. Or you have a whole story about what it will mean if you do or don't move forward on something. That is what oracle cards are useful for, providing more detailed information about a subject. Like, just for a second, think back to the story I told you at the beginning, where Stacy was understandably thinking about leaving. The oracles provided her insight that she couldn't see at that moment because she was wrapped up in her human body experience of, at that moment, feeling unsafe. She couldn't see right then that this would settle, that things would get safe and feel good to her, and that she would shine and blossom so much there that she would extend her service. Okay, do you see what I mean? I think you do. Okay, the third piece that I would offer today on using oracles is that even when you are consulting oracles, you will find that they work best when your mind is not tied up in knots. So if you find that your undies are in a bunch about something, I suggest that that moment right then is probably not the best time to get out your divination cards or your pendulum or whatever it is that you want to use. At the very least, before you consult your oracles, do some centering technique beforehand or remind yourself that you can have information, that there is insight available to you, even if you can't see it right now. Then I recommend go take a bath or fold some laundry or go for a walk. Put the subject down for a bit, if you can, and return to your oracle tools when your mind is more unencumbered, more centered on the fact that you don't have to fight for insight. And when it is actually open to insight, instead of wrapped in stories and what ifs. If you read my book, Getting Answers, you know that a pivotal part of the story, I would call it the instigating event that actually resulted in my book, even, was during a period of time in my life when I felt like something was calling me, but I didn't know what it was. Life is like that often. it's common for us to feel the pull toward something, feel internally the change that needs to be made before we are even sure about what that change is. That can absolutely happen. I've seen in my work that sometimes this makes people freak out a bit. There brews this desperation for the knowing what is next or how it is going to work out, the moment that we feel the change brewing internally. We often lose sight of the fact that if you are feeling the pull, change is likely inevitable. It just takes its own sweet time sometimes, or it takes a bit for us to understand it. Well, in the moments before I wrote my book, I realized that if I didn't know what was coming, what was calling me, all I had to do was ask. I didn't use oracles for this at that time. I just asked the universe, and true to its constant nature, the way that it is always in conversation with us, the answer just dropped in at some point. But oracles would and could be a lovely tool for those moments. They are a clarifying tool. I went on a walk with a girlfriend recently, and she told me that it was using oracles, divination cards, that guided her to her husband. She said he isn't someone she would have ever thought she would be with, and yet the cards kept greenlighting her way over and over, which was what gave her the certainty to make some big decisions that allowed a relationship for them to bloom. In the end, he was perfect in so many ways she could have never predicted, all because of oracles. So oracles can be a shortcut or illuminate pathways that you may or may not have been able to see easily on your own. They are not fluff. They just add. They are useful for information and can be a shortcut to the wisdom or path of your soul. So, in a couple of weeks, as I mentioned at the beginning of our show, on September 17th, 19th, and 22nd, I am teaching a free 3-day workshop. It's really just an hour, or maybe probably more likely a bit more than an hour each day, maybe an hour and a half or something. So it's not like you're clearing off 72 hours in your calendar. But one of the things that we will be delving into, as I mentioned, is using oracles to get guidance from your own soul. It's something that I teach my students and community members, but actually not until we are finished with almost all of our other tools. And that is because there are many ways to get information from your intuition. Your intuition actually speaks through your body loud and clear, if you understand how to interpret it. And when I am with people who are dedicated to developing their own internal superpower, their intuition, for the guidance of their soul, I want them to have practice with all of the other ways that don't require external objects like divination cards before I introduce the shortcut of oracle cards. So, nevertheless, as I already said, using oracles or divination tools is as old as the hills. And if you feel like you are craving insight from your own higher knowing or guidance from benevolent source or the guides that serve your highest good, then oracles are a super useful tool to employ. Okay, so if all of this has piqued your interest even more, you can join us for Intuition for Changemakers. You can reserve your spot by following the link in the show notes or going to amecartier.com/IFC. That is short for Intuition for Changemakers. But what I want to leave you with today, whether or not you take your place at the Changemaker Party, is that oracles are a shortcut to your own wisdom. They are a pathway to insight and clarifying. And whoever you are, you have the ability to use them and get information that is useful to you and your soul's path. You are the wisdom of your own soul. And if that, or the way forward, sometimes gets murky or cloudy, well, no biggie. It happens to all of us. It's just a part of being human. A divination tool is only a hand reach away. This is Aimée Cartier. Thank you for listening. You are literally the reason I do this show. Okay, here's the deal. If you are so over second or third or gajillion times second guessing yourself, or if you feel like it's time to let go of that tired mantle of constantly doubting yourself, or if you feel tired of feeling stymied or hopeless or not sure what to do, and if you want tools that will help you align with your own soul's path and knowing and amplify your internal strength regardless of what is happening on the world stage, but also possibly as a way to add positively to it and accomplish what your soul is here to do, then you are going to want to not only join me for my Intuition for Changemakers, but also start stirring in your mind that after IFC, as I call it for short, in October, I'll be kicking off a year-long membership called Solutionaries. It might be just the community, learning, and support you are looking for, especially if you are ready to know and use your own internal superpower, your intuition, and use it to make your life and this world a better place. You'll be in good company. You can start by getting a spot at my free training or just heading over to my website and signing up for another freebie. And then, bam, you'll get notice when the doors open and close for my membership, because it's only a small window of time. Open, shut, go time. I'd love to have you with us. Per usual, you can find out more about me and my work at amecartier.com and by following the link in the show notes. All my love.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.